I hit the road running after Easter Sunday. My nephew said to me, he said, you know, Easter Sunday is kind of like the Super Bowl for pastors, isn't it? Well, you know, it is and it isn't, but you always do want to have everything looking its best, and there are a bunch of things you do. And so I was here a lot all the week before Easter. Then we had Easter Sunday, and then we had the meal with the family, and then I just jumped on a plane. I've been running ever since, and I haven't stopped running. And I just thought about that little guy, and I saw him on the internet, and I said, that's the way I want to be, though. I want to look like that guy. You know, that he was my inspiration. And so I want to talk. I'm doing a little four-week series entitled Improving Your Walk. And I thought, by the time I'm done, I want to have the enthusiasm of that young man on the screen. He's ready to take on life. And so I want to ask you this question this morning. The first question I want to ask is this: are you making a difference in your life? Are you making a difference? The reason I want to pose that question to you is I had a lot of driving time this week. Where have I been? I don't, you know, isn't it weird? I've been to Tulsa, I've been to Arkansas, and I've been to San Antonio. So when I fly into Tulsa, I have to drive to Bentonville, Arkansas, home of the Big W. And so I'm going to call in the Big W, and it's about a two-hour drive. And so I had a lot of time to listen. I don't like to listen to music and commercials. I listened to some talk radio then, and I heard all these people calling in. Now, some of you have been listening to talk radio nonstop with this election, I know, and some of it's been discouraging. Some of it's been kind of like just, I can't listen to it anymore. But here's what I heard a lot of. I heard a lot of people who were about ready just to give up. They're in fact, if, and this is not any, I'm not getting into politics this morning, but if the candidate they're supporting is not nominated, they're just saying, I'm not even going to vote. You know, if my guy doesn't get it, forget it. You know, they're just saying, and I don't even think anything we do makes a difference. And they're about ready to cash it in and give up. I want to tell you that we cannot, as Christians, have that kind of attitude about life. We cannot have the attitude that what we do and how we live does not make a difference. I want to tell you that every single solitary life, young and old alike, everything you do, everything you say, every day you live makes a difference. So we want to look at how to improve our lives in making a difference, okay? So the question is, well, you don't need to stand up, but metaphorically, will all sincere Christ followers please stand up? That is what I believe we need to be asking the body of Christ today. That we need to be sincere Christ followers, and we need to take a stand. And I thought about this question. Listen to this question. What would happen in our families, in our churches, in our communities, and in our world if every true believer in Jesus Christ or every sincere Christ follower got engaged, took a stand, got involved in the work of the kingdom of God and in helping their fellow man and in trying to bring God's love and influence into this world in which we live? What would happen if everyone in this church did that? What would happen in Weatherford? What would happen in Willow Park? What would happen in Hudson Oaks? What would happen in Aledo? If each of us took it seriously, the call to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, if we began to love our neighbor as ourselves, and if we began to live as the light of the world and the salt of the earth, what would happen? I am so, like, having fun right now preparing messages because God is speaking to me from verses I've never preached on before in my life. I never thought there was a message in these verses before in my life. I've read these chapters for years, and I never got anything out of them. All of a sudden, I'm reaching them now, and I'm going through them, and I'm reading them, and I'm going, whoa! And the Holy Spirit's just popping things, and I'm getting all excited. So I hope you will too, because they're going to be verses that you probably, maybe some of you never even read before. Here's the text. It's in your bulletin, Deuteronomy 22:1-4. If you see another Israelite's ox or sheep out where it doesn't belong, don't pretend you don't see it. Make sure you take it back. If the owner doesn't live near you or you don't know who owns it, take the animal home with you, keep it until the owner comes looking for it, then give it back. Do the same if you find a donkey, some clothes, or anything else that another Israelite may have lost. Don't pretend that you don't know what to do. If you see another Israelite's donkey or ox lying on the road, don't pretend that you don't see it. Make sure you help him get it back on its feet. I remember years ago when I was just starting to work for the company I consult for now, Mercado Latino, I used to run a sales route in the grocery industry. And I was at the Vons store in Diamond Bar. And we used to live by that Vons store. And they had a little section of our product, and I would go there and I would call on that store, dust the shelves, take an order, pick up spoils, and then go on my way. That was the day before we had smartphones. It was before we had any type of cell phones. It was the day of the pager and the rotary coin phone. Was it rotary? No, it was a push-button coin phone. So anyway, I got a beep. I'm just coming out of the store. Bzz, bzz. I looked at it, called the office. So I got to the phone, and I put a dime in the phone. All of a sudden, the phone started to vibrate. And then it started to go, and it started to spit out quarters. I'm not kidding you. I mean, quarters started coming out of this thing. And I had my jacket or something, and I'm not exaggerating. I just put it under there, and it just was emptying quarters into my jacket. Jink, 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 jink. I felt like I was at Las Vegas, you know? Jink, 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 jink. Finally, it stopped, and I had this whole coat full of quarters. I didn't know what to do. So, yeah, I was tempted to do that, but I didn't do that. So anyway, we're interactive here. It's okay. So I walked into the store, and I said, is the manager there? And the manager came, and I said, can I get a paper sack? So that was before plastic, by the way. So I poured all these quarters into the paper sack, and I handed them to them, and I said, you know, these all came out of the payphone outside of your store. And he stood there, and he did look stunned at me. He went, and you're giving them to me? I said, yeah, they don't belong to me. They came from the phone. They belong to the phone company. Can you take them? He said, yes, that's very unusual, but yes. And he took the bag. The Bible says, don't pretend you don't see it. Make sure you take it back. Take the animal home with you. Keep it until the owner comes looking for it. Give it back. Do the same thing for anything. Don't pretend you don't know what to do. Don't pretend you don't see it. Make sure you help him get it back on its feet. In other words, for goodness sakes, folks, will you get involved? For goodness sakes, will you just simply get involved? All over, we live in a world where people aren't willing to lift their finger. They walk like the Pharisees and the scribe around the wounded men and women of this world. They see the brokenness and the darkness and everything that's wrong. They see the donkey in the ditch and they will not get involved. And God is saying, won't you just get involved? I guarantee you, if I wouldn't have taken those quarters in the store and I would have turned around from that machine and they would have emptied on the floor, they wouldn't have gotten to the store. I'm not saying how great of a person I am because I did think about taking them. I thought, here's lunch for the week. So don't think I'm not human. So I want to talk about this morning four areas where we need to take a stand. See, I can even back up and I can see where I am. Four areas we need to take a stand. We need to get involved in these four areas. And here's kind of the cool thing. And I'm not just trying to make this fit. It's kind of cool. We have these four symbols in the Four Square Church. And we have these four areas that we talked about in our vision. To love the Lord our God, the symbol is the cross. We celebrate Jesus Christ our Savior. Then we have the dove. We serve one another in the power of the Holy Spirit through the gifts of the Spirit, and that's Jesus Christ, our baptized in the Holy Spirit. We've got the cup, and it's our call to grow and to be made whole, and we proclaim that Jesus Christ is our healer. And we've got the crown that represents his rulership, his lordship, and we're called to go out and proclaim the kingdom of God in this world. So as we look at these four areas this morning, very simple. It's a call to get involved, and it's a call to take those emblems that we proclaim in our faith out into the marketplace. So first one, we need to get involved with our families. We need to get involved with our families. I'm going to give you, and that's the area of the cross, I'm just going to give you two verses, and I just want to say some things to you this morning. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone doesn't take care of his own relatives, especially his immediate family, he's denied the Christian faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, there are people here who have done wonderful taking care of the physical needs of their family. They've provided a roof over their head. They've provided clothes and food and shelter, whatever. But we're not talking about that. Because I want to tell you something. I don't have the clothes I had when I was growing up that my parents provided me. And the food's long since gone. All the pencils I used are gone. The shoes I wore are gone. Nothing that they provided me that I needed lasted or had a lasting impression on my life. But I'll tell you what did. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, we read this very declaration. It became the declaration of the nation of Israel. And it was this: listen, Israel, the Lord our God is one. The only God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Take to heart the words I give you today. And doesn't just stop there, but listen to what it says. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you're home or away, when you lie down or get up. Write them down. Tie them around your wrist. Wear them as headbands as a reminder. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Basically saying, parents, listen. Grandparents, listen. Get involved, get involved, get involved with your families. And the thing you need to get involved with is passing on the faith, once delivered to the saints, the faith of Jesus Christ, the teaching of the scriptures, the things that God has given us. Get involved and put those into the hearts and the lives of your children. That is the thing I remember that my parents put in me. That is the thing that lasted. That is the reason I'm here today. That is the reason I am preaching a sermon, because I had parents who planted the word and the seed of God in my life. They cared enough about me to get me to places where I would learn about Jesus. They cared enough about me to wrestle with me about going to church. They cared enough about me to tell me about the Lord. They cared enough about me to pray at meals. They cared enough about me to share their faith. They cared enough about me to let me know that Jesus was the most important thing. In fact, my father, and many of you know this, who had Alzheimer's in the last years of his life, he was an operatic tenor. He sang for the Detroit Philharmonic. He was a brilliant musician. He could take a sheet music in his hand and he could perfectly, pitch perfectly, sing that sheet music just by reading it. By the end of his life, he couldn't read sheet music anymore. By the end of his life, he didn't remember the songs he sang, except for one. And he sang it to everybody. Sometimes it was a bit embarrassing, because you never knew when he was going to jump on somebody, take their hand, look them in the eye, and start singing. That's what he'd do. He'd just jump down. He'd go like this, and he'd start singing. I'm not going to do it to you. I mean, I'd have to kind of hang back, put my hand on his shoulder, and kind of look at the people saying, it's okay, he's not going to hurt you. Because he was kind of a big guy. And he would sing, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And he'd sing that over and over and over and over again. The last thing my dad did was he proclaimed Jesus into my life through his simple heart of faith. Parents, grandparents, it's not toys your kids need. It's not things your kids need. It's the Word of God they need. It's godly parents and grandparents they need. It's the things of God placed in their lives. And you do it naturally. You take them to church. You do it when you're going to McDonald's. My daughter was saved in a take-through line at Burger King. Drive-through line. She looked to her mother. She said, Mommy, I want to ask Jesus in my heart. And Karen's trying to place an order, probably says, now? Hallelujah, now! Hallelujah. And you guys have testimonies like that too. Come on, get involved with your families. Nothing you leave them, no inheritance, no little piece of jewelry, no anything that you possessed will last, but what you sow into their hearts through the Word of God and your godly example is eternal. And grandparents, I want to tell you something. You have a role even sometimes bigger than your parents. So be godly grandparents. Number two, you need to get involved in church. The body of Christ is waiting for people to get involved in the churches all around this nation. That gets us to the area of the Spirit. The Spirit of God comes into our lives, empowers us, and gives us gifts so that we can serve one another. Hebrews 10, I already read this morning, but this is from a little different translation. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25 says, we must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith. That's something all of us are called to do. We're all called to hold firmly to the faith that we believe in. And then it says, how do you do that? Well, the one who made the promise is faithful. We know that. How do you know God is faithful? Amen? But sometimes I don't feel like God is faithful. Amen? Come on, be real. I wonder, did he forget? Is he going to answer that prayer? You run a little late. You know, come on, Lord. Well, then how do I get placed back into remembering that? It says this, we must also consider how to encourage each other to show love and to do good things. You see, if we're called to get involved, and we all are, in our families, now in our churches, there's times when I don't want to. There's times when the week has just beat me down and I need a brother or sister to come up alongside of me and encourage me and to stir up in me, as the King James says, to stir up some love and good works. It says this, it says, we should not stop gathering together with other believers as some of you are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. You know what the day of the Lord is? It's the day of judgment in the Bible. Now, praise God, my personal view is that I'm going with the first group in the rapture. That means when the trump of Christ sounds, you know, I've already been practicing. I'm going, you know. You can believe that where that, you can place that during the tribulation wherever you want to place it. I happen to place it a little before. But you know what, I'm going to tell you something, whether it happens before, in the middle or at the end, I'm going with the first group. And these lead boots aren't going to hold me down. And I see that day approaching, and I see our world getting darker, and I see sin encroaching, and I see wickedness increasing, and I see the hearts of many growing cold, and I don't want my heart to grow cold, so I'm going to be right there in the thick of it, not just because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a believer, and I'm going to stir myself up, and I'm going to stir you up the best that I can, and you need to do the same. You need to do the same. 1 Peter 4, 7 to 11 says about the same thing. No, we're not going to 7-11. That's 1 Peter 4, 7-11. Immediately their minds went to Slurpees. I know them. The end of everything is near. By the way, they got a really neat new flavor of Coke and
you said we're not going.
Okay, so okay. I love my front row. I love them. The end of everything is near. Therefore, practice self-control. Keep your minds clear of this so that you can pray. Above all, and what does that mean? Don't get embroiled in the things of this world, folks. Come on, let me tell you, there's nothing worth it. We got to keep ourselves clear-minded so we can pray. Above all, love each other warmly because love covers many sins. Welcome each other as guests without complaining. Oh, they're coming over. Each of you as a good man... Oh, they're at church this Sunday. Each of you as a good manager must use the gift that God has given you to serve others. Notice that. If you're going to be involved and faithful to what God has called you to do, He's calling you to be a good manager of the gifts you have. Last Sunday, I never knew that Al could sing, baby, and I'm going to be calling that gift out of him again. My goodness. So we go. You all got it. You have gifts that God's given you. You got to be a good manager of those. You need to use them. You need to employ them. He goes on to say, whoever speaks, let him speak God's word. Whoever serves, serve with strength God supplies, so that in every way God will receive glory through Jesus Christ. Glory and power belong to Jesus Christ forever and ever. And Jesus said this in John 13, 34 to 35, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Well, if you don't have any others to love, you can't do that, can you? So you got to be planted so you can love someone else. Everyone will know that you're my disciples because you have love for each other. So get involved in your churches. If this isn't the church for you, by gum, I'll give you 25 to go visit, but find one and get planted. Get planted. Number three, we need to get involved with our neighbors. This is the area of the cut. If we have the healing ministry of Jesus Christ, if we know that He's the healer, if we know that He's healing us, then we're called to go out to a world that's dying and bring the healing power of Jesus Christ to them. You say, well, who's my neighbor? Well, that's what some people ask Jesus. In Luke 10, 25 to 29, we know the story about the Good Samaritan. Notice that Jesus was speaking to scribes and teachers, and He said, when asked that question, well, who's my neighbor? He says, let me tell you a story. He had first said to them when they came up all pious, oh, teacher, we know you are called from God and you have great wisdom and truth. What are the great commandments? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is just like this, love your neighbor as yourself. So it says, and they seeking to justify themselves because they didn't like everybody. I won't ask you to raise hands, but I know you all don't like everybody. Because I don't either. Not anybody here, but some folks. They said, well, who's my neighbor? So to the Jews, a Samaritan was like someone that comes from California to a Texan. I've been here 20 years, folks. Word. I passed the holy line. I have been declared an official Texan after 20 years. My pants are long enough. Everything's good. I checked. They're hitting the back of my boot. I can't give away the Hawaiian shirt. Sorry. It's spring. A Samaritan, they wouldn't get involved with a Samaritan. There's people that, you know, who is my neighbor? God just started to make this personally to me. I'm not going to read all the scriptures I have here, read them and meditate on them. But I was in the hotel room, and I'm both Californian and German. Weird combination. Germans have a tendency to be thrifty. That's a nice word for cheap. We like to think of ourselves as frugal. We don't like to spend money we don't need to spend. And when we can, we get a deal. And I was so proud of my daughter who came home from UNT with a bag of 12 free t-shirts. She said, "Dad, I scored!" They had an apartment. They had an apartment affair where they were trying to get people to move into apartments. And I went to every booth and I scored 12 t-shirts. I said, "Dear," she's a senior, I said, "you got the wardrobe for the rest of your college career." Hallelujah. Just patch the jeans, okay? Anyway, I saw this little tag in my hotel room in San Antonio. And it said, "This room was carefully cleaned for you by Carmela." Now, I thought, I need to do something with that. And I've never left money in a room. That's something frugal people don't do. Because the way I looked at it, when I leave a room, I'm leaving it clean. I pick up all my towels. I turn off all the lights. I open the things. They don't have to do much. And the Lord just said, "No, bless Carmela. She's your neighbor. Bless Carmela. She's your neighbor." I said, "I don't even know the woman. But I have the ability to bless the woman." And so I took that little note down with some money and I put it underneath a glass so it didn't blow away. And I hope Carmela got it. But the point is, we live in a society where everyone walks the arc around people in need. Now, I'm not really big on giving money to people on street corners with cardboard signs. I support the Union Rescue Mission in Fort Worth because I think they're better equipped to do that. I don't just want to give people money to put in a bottle and drink it. But when I can bless somebody legitimately, when I can take of my life and my resources and just words of encouragement and I can get involved with my neighbor, I got to do it. When I see someone struggling with a cart of groceries, I can stop and help them load them in her car. If I see someone with a flat and I have the time and the ability to fix it, even if I don't have the time, but I have the ability and I'm there and God moves upon my heart, I need to help that person fix their flat. I need to help my neighbor. And who is my neighbor? Everyone out there. Because Jesus brought it right down. He said, "Love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. And you'll be children of your Father in heaven." Worship team, come back up. We're on our last point. Last point is we need to get involved in our world. I purposely picked that picture because this gets in the area of the crown. We live in Parker County. I know that not everybody here lives in Weatherford, but that courthouse is a symbol of this county. It's the county seat, and might I say it's one of the finest looking courthouses in Texas. Might I just say that? And they're planning on doing something really squirrely with the downtown square that's really got me upset, but I'll deal with it. Huh? Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, give me five on that one. Yeah, okay. We'll talk about that later. But anyway, we need to get involved in our world, folks. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You don't take the light that God's given you and hide it under a bushel. You don't take the salt that you are to be and let it be trodden underfoot and lose its savor. You're supposed to be making people thirsty, and your life is supposed to be lighting the way for people to know how to get back to the Father through Jesus Christ. Looking and knowing how to make the proper choices. That means that I don't care if your candidate doesn't get the nomination, you need to vote your values and you need to vote because you're a citizen of this here United States. You need to pay your taxes, even though you don't like it, and even though some of them are unfair. Right now, you need to do that because Romans 13 says that God has placed this government in authority over us, and we're to render unto Caesar those things that are Caesar's, and unto God those things that are God's. We need to watch our tongue when we talk about people in offices that we don't like or disagree with. And I want to tell you, there's a whole bunch of them on my list.
Amen, brother.
Can I just be serious? But I need to be careful of my tongue, because my tongue is supposed to be focused on intercession and prayer for them. Listen to 1 Timothy 2, 1-4. First of all, I encourage you to make petitions and prayers, intercessions and prayers of thanks for all people, for rulers in your political party only.
No.
For rulers, for all people, for everyone who has authority over you. Pray for these people so that we can have a quiet and peaceable life, always living in a godly and reverent way. This is good and pleases God our Savior, because He wants all people to be saved and to learn of Him. Here's the deal. If you don't get involved in this world, if you stop praying for our leaders, if you stop being engaged in all the things that we're upset about, who will be engaged in it? I want to tell you who will be: the people who will take us down the wrong road of darkness and play right into the hand of what the enemy wants to do to kill, steal, and destroy lives of unborn children, of marriages that need hope, of children that need education, of a society that needs a moral fiber so it doesn't just disintegrate and be washed away into the cesspool that we see all around us. If you don't do it, who will? If you don't pray, who will? If you don't vote, who will? So the next time you are ready to say that about this guy or that gal, instead, check yourself. Doesn't mean you don't talk about the issues. It doesn't mean you don't discuss honestly their positions. But be very careful that you pray for them as people and you pray for their salvation. I want to tell you, no one can do the right thing unless they have the right heart. So let's stand up as we close. God, give us grace to get involved.
My heart is torn asunder, and my world just falls apart. Lord, you put me back together and lift me up to where you are. There is hope beyond the suffering, joy beyond the in every tragedy, a love that conquers fear. I have found redemption in the blood of Christ. My body might be dying, but I'll always be alive.
Hallelujah. Praise you.
The conqueror's fear. I have found redemption in the blood of Christ. My body might be done, but I'll always be alive.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
When the age death is over, and this world has been reborn, I'll be there beside my Savior. This is our great and
good, Father. Hallelujah.
There is hope beyond the suffering, joy beyond the tears. Yes, in every tragedy, a love that conquers fear. I have found redemption in the blood of Christ. My body might be dying, but I'll always be alive. There is hope beyond the suffering, joy beyond the tears. Peace in every tragedy, a love that conquers fear. I have found redemption.
Hallelujah. Lord, give him praise. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you this morning. Come on, you can give him praise. Lord, we give you thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when we talked about the importance of encouraging one another, when one person is missing, we don't realize how big of a difference that makes. And when I turned to Carol, you know, Carol's away ministering to her mother-in-law and Brian's mother. But when you wait for the piano to kick in and you turn there and there's no Carol, it makes a difference. You know, when people turn and look to find you and you're not there, it makes a big difference. God just wants us to get involved. You all have a purpose. You know, some people say, well, Jesus is coming. It's all coming to an end in the next 5 or 10 years. And what's the use? Well, I never would have gone to college because I had that attitude. But that was over 40 years ago. I listened to a message by Mama Dorn, most of you know who she is, called The Third Day, that she preached here 6 years ago. And she talked about how she expected the return of Jesus in the 1980s. Now, this isn't to diminish his soon coming, but this is to say that we cannot rest on our laurels. There is a man, and I don't remember his name, but most of you don't know him. I didn't know him. And he would never be a name on the tip of your tongue. But how many of you have heard of Billy Graham? Let me see your hands.
Oh. Okay.
Do you know that there was a Sunday school teacher who led Billy Graham to the Lord? He got involved and led this man who's still in his 90s proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a kids' beach club. We have Awana here every week. There have been over 10 or 11 kids come to Christ at Kids Beach Club just in the past few weeks. Last year, we had 15 young children come to Christ in Awana. Who knows if you're touching, and you're touching a Billy Graham.
Hallelujah.
If Jesus tarries, and let me tell you, he's not late, because 1 year is like 1,000, and 1,000 is like 1 year. He's only been gone 2 days, folks.
Yes.
And it's not time to roll it up and pack it in. It's time to get engaged in your calling and in your life and to get involved. Father, I pray as we sing this last song, oh God, while we still have strength, let us put everything in for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
I dream of you, making me Wash me away,
hallelujah, Father, hallelujah.
Wash me away,
yes, Jesus.
Come flood through my soul, take all that is old, make me new today, flood over my life,
till I'm not satisfied
in this life that I know.
Wash me away. Hallelujah. Jesus. Bless you. Flood over us. Wash us. Hallelujah.
I thirst for you. Like a desert, I'm dry. And my heart is in need of you.
Yes. Yes, Lord, need you.
I dream of you. In your presence, for all I do, I need nothing but more.
Nothing but you. Yes, you.
So I bring my heart here.
We bring our hearts today.
Wash me away.
Hallelujah. Wash me away, Lord.
Wash me. Take all that is old, make me new today. Wash me away,
wash me away, Lord.
Wash me away,
come wash me away.
Come flood my soul, take all that is old, make me new today.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Wash us away, Lord.
Wash us.
Wash us away.
Flood over our soul. Take all that is away. Hush. Wash me away.
Thank you, Lord. As we close now, I'm going to ask the altar prayer team members who are here to come forward. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, I mean, don't leave here without coming up and talking to one of these couples and just letting them share with you how you can pray to receive Jesus. If you need anointing for healing or prayer for any need, they'll be here. You can, if they're praying for somebody, just sit down and they will take time to pray for you. There's a story in the book of Acts, and I close with this, really. I am closing, and I'm just a couple minutes over. I try to stay true to the time. I never could understand how Paul could speak so long that a young man listened to him till after midnight, fell asleep in the window, fell down to his death. Now, fortunately, Paul was able to raise him from the dead. I want to tell you that I would read that as a young pastor, and I could not understand that because I said, I don't have that much to say. I want to tell you, I'm giving you grace this morning because I could keep going this morning.
Yes, hallelujah.
I mean, I feel like I could keep you here till you were falling out the window.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But I'm not going to do that.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to tell you one more quick story.
Hallelujah.
We just sang Wash Me Away. God has given you a deposit of His grace and of His mercy in your life. It's so rich and so full. And it's so given, it says, in an earthen vessel, meaning that the deposit of His love and grace is mixed in with your imperfections. I was a little boy. I don't remember how old. I know I had a black cowboy hat on. Mitch, where are you? Back then, in boots and a vest. And I was at Knott's Berry Farm, and I was in old Calico Ghost Town, and I went up to mine for gold. Now, they gave me a plate. I was all stoked. This is great, man. This is just like I saw in the Westerns. And they put a bunch of dirt in it. And I thought, good golly, I'm paying for gold. And they gave me a pan full of dirt. Now, if I would have just taken that and walked away and not gotten involved, I would have missed out on the glory of what I was about to see. But what happened was, the guy came over, the old guy with the beard and the sideburns, chewing tobacco, and he said, "Now, you just put that plate down there, young man, and you just start to swish it. Swish it." So I started swishing my plate. And I noticed that the water rolled over the dirt and the dirt started going away. And all of a sudden I started seeing these sparkling things come forth. It was gold, folks. I'd struck gold about that much in a little while. But I was the richest young man alive. I said, "How much do you think this is worth?" He smiled at me. He said, "Have a good day." But I want to tell you something. It's worth tons in your life. Let God just wash over you to remove all that hinders and keeps you from being all that He wants you to be and bring forth the gold of His grace and mercy in your life. Hallelujah. Let me bless you now. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and grant you His peace. And as you go, say, "Lord, thank you that He stopped when He did." God bless you. If you need prayer, come forward. Have a blessed day. Go and be joyful in the Lord.